Welcome to the Step-by-Step Wedding Prep Podcast by Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, the weekly show that makes wedding planning fun again. Here, you'll go from planning panic, that constant sense of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and needing to please those around you, to being in control again, feeling confident, encouraged, and calm in planning the day you've always dreamed of. From interviews with industry experts to firsthand planning tips and more, you'll learn ways to make wedding planning easy, affordable, and as stress-free as possible. Now here's your host, Felicia Zammit McMahon.
Hello, and welcome to the show where we teach you everything you need to know to plan your wedding like a pro. This is episode number 9, and every Wednesday I'll be answering the most commonly asked questions couples have when it comes to planning their wedding, and bringing you expert advice from the most amazing wedding professionals in the industry. This is likely the first time you're planning a wedding, and with that comes a huge learning curve. There's so much you don't realize you need to know, which is often the cause of what I like to call planning panic. I felt it too, big time, and because of that, I want to help you shorten that learning curve to take the overwhelm out of planning and to make it as fun and as stress-free as possible. So my goal with this podcast is to give you the tools and education you need so you can plan your wedding with ease. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for being here. I encourage you to go back through past episodes, subscribe to the show in Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or Stitcher, and follow us over at stepbystepweddingprep.com. If you know anyone who's getting married, please share this with them. And if this podcast is one that's been truly helping you, go ahead and leave a review. It would truly mean a lot to me. So today we're going to tackle the question of how can we make our wedding unique and show off our personality? And this is an awesome, awesome question because there are so many ways to do this and more ways to do this than you probably think. So by now, I'm sure you've been to a few weddings or have maybe even been in a few weddings, and you can tell that, for lack of a better term, weddings are a bit cookie cutter in the sense that there's a certain ebb and flow to the day. You know, there's a pattern and protocol to when certain things happen prior to and during the day. The wedding ceremony follows a certain order, cocktail hour follows a certain order, and when you send out invites and save the dates, those follow a certain order, and the same with your reception. Now, some of this order is for practical reasons, but just because they follow a certain order doesn't mean that your wedding has to be boring and plain. And actually, what I love most about weddings is that they're really a completely blank slate. I like to look at each part of this order and pattern as a different bucket. So your save the dates are a bucket, your vows are a bucket, table decor is a bucket, and so forth. And how you fill those buckets is how you make your wedding unique to you. And the best part is there are no rules. What usually happens is couples get into this pattern of, well, it's always been that way, so we'll do it that way too. But in my opinion, that's really the biggest myth out there because you can do whatever you like. And guess what? If there's a certain part of the day, a certain so-called bucket you don't want to do or have at your wedding, you don't have to do it. You can eliminate that bucket altogether. Now, of course, there are a few exceptions to this, but let's say you don't want to do a parent dance or a garter toss. You don't have to. If you don't want to write your own vows, you don't have to. It's all up to you because every couple has their own personality and their own likes and dislikes. So the easiest way to understand this is to think back to a wedding you've been to or a wedding you've been in. Chances are what you remember the most and what stood out the most for you is something the couple did that truly signified who they were. So maybe you're a really fun-loving couple that likes to joke around a lot. Maybe you're a couple that loves Disney or a specific sport or team. Maybe you have kids and you want to highlight them at your wedding, or maybe you both have the same profession and you want to show that off. I say go for it 100%. So I'm going to share different areas, tackling them in kind of a chronological order in terms of what gets done during the whole planning process, where you can really let your personality shine through. So let's start with save the dates and invitations. Save the dates are the very first item your guests receive about your wedding. It basically gets the whole ball rolling. The great thing here is that inherently there's a bit of whimsy and fun to save the dates, because you're just making an announcement that a wedding is coming, and who doesn't love that, right? So you're happy, you're joyful, and you're telling your guests that a celebration is coming. So already it gives off a fun and exciting vibe. They're probably one of the most fun and easiest things to customize as well, to show off your personality. So like I mentioned in episode 3, which I'll link to in the show notes, one of the benefits of doing engagement photos is that you can use them here. If you know you're going to use your photos for your save the dates, you have lots of choices. You can keep them very traditional, where it's a formal picture of you both dressed up and being all romantic, or you could work with your photographer to come up with some really fun alternatives. So maybe you're in your favorite team's uniform holding styrofoam fingers, or maybe you decided to go back to where you had your first date and take pictures there. Maybe you're a Star Wars fan and want to get dressed up as characters with lightsabers or whatever. You get what I'm saying. You could really go crazy here to make them as unique as you want. And in fact, what many couples do is they will bring a change of clothes with them to their engagement session, and they'll do some more of the dressy formal shots and then change into different clothing and do something more fun. So they have the choice of what types of photos they want to use. Same with your invites. Most people tend to lean towards the fun aspect for the save the dates and then keep it more formal for traditional invites. And there's a good reason for that. Invites are kept as keepsakes. They're framed, they're photographed, and so many couples want something a little bit more formal for that reason. However, if that's not you, live it up. Maybe you're very eco-conscious and want to forgo invites altogether and do evites instead. Maybe you want something more like a pop-up card full of whimsy. Maybe you want themed invites instead of ones that match your colors. Whatever the case, you have options and there are no rules. I will say this though, just to keep it in mind. Your invites are usually the biggest clue to your guests as to what they can expect from your wedding. So you want to make sure that whatever your invite looks like matches your expectation of the day. If you want a more traditional formal ceremony, a fun save the date but a formal invite might be the best option for you. If you send out more of a fun, whimsical invite, your guest may expect your wedding to be a bit less formal of a day. Next, let's move on to attire. Again, this is a great opportunity to showcase your personality. For most brides, their two biggest wants for their wedding day are they want to look stunning and they want to be comfortable. And I can't blame them. I did too. And in hindsight, after seeing the blisters on my feet at the end of the day, I wish I had paid more attention to my thoughts of wanting to be comfortable. I really wish I had a pair of Converse sneakers to change into, because I'm a total jeans and sneakers kind of girl. And changing into sneakers or flip-flops is a common thing to do. So I don't know why I didn't do that. I think maybe I was feeling that since I'm always in sneakers, I wanted to stay dressed up for as long as I could. I don't know. But in hindsight, I wish I had sneakers. So definitely take that into consideration. If you want to be comfortable, bring a change of shoes. If white is not your thing, change it up and wear a gown with color. Now, you need to be aware that this may come with some backlash because wearing white is what's traditionally worn. But again, just because it's a tradition, that doesn't mean it's a rule. If you don't want a dress, You could wear a jumpsuit or a tailored tux. You know, maybe you want two looks. Maybe you want a formal look for your ceremony and then a fun outfit for the reception. There's lots of choices here. And the same goes for your groom as well. Most will opt for a tux or a suit. But again, if you want to change up your look, you need to be open to him changing his as well. So let's move on to more of the details and aspects of the day itself and talk about flowers. This is a really great opportunity to do something different while still keeping the elegance of your wedding day look. So let's just say you're allergic to flowers, which can be a real cause for concern for a lot of brides, and can, because of that, can cause a lot of panic. And you might be thinking, if you are one of those brides, that you're supposed to carry flowers, and if you don't, you might feel like you're doing something wrong. If you're allergic and still want to carry flowers, you can try fake flowers, but I'm talking like really good, realistic looking flowers. You could try a brooch bouquet full of fabric flowers and pins. You can use wooden flowers. You can even work with your florist to use vegetables instead. Now, I know you're probably thinking like vegetables sound really weird, but I swear if you do a Google search for vegetable wedding bouquets, you're going to see baby kale, baby cabbage, all sorts of things that to an unknowing eye really look like flowers and cost a fraction of the price too. Think about this also if you're looking for an alternative to flowers as decor. So I have a funny story in that one of our family last names translates into turnip. No joke. So if you find out something like that holds true in your family, have turnips or whatever the translation is represented on your tablescapes. Fruit and glass vases are beautiful, and even just a display of candles is also really gorgeous. Greenery is another option. You can decorate with plants, pumpkins, maybe even mini Christmas trees if you're having a Christmas-themed wedding. Whatever you decide, there are endless possibilities here. So moving on, let's talk about unity ceremonies and vows. So vows are kind of an obvious way to really showcase who you are. It's a great opportunity to share some insights as to who you are as a couple and a fun way to maybe throw in a little jab or joke like, I promise to always give you the remote control, or I promise to always stay out of the kitchen or take the garbage out. So fun things like that are always a nice surprise, and laughter always helps to break up the nerves a bit too. But also remember, if you don't want to write your vows, you don't have to, and that's okay. Unity ceremonies are kind of a new optional element for your ceremony. Some couples really love the symbolism of them, and some choose to forgo them altogether. We didn't write our own vows or do a unity ceremony. We wanted a very formal, traditional mass ceremony. But if you choose to do one, there are all sorts of things you could do. Maybe you plant a tree together or create your own wine by mixing two together. Maybe you're both in the science field and create an experiment or create and bury a time capsule. You know, there are lots of great options here. You can really be creative. So work with your officiant, work with your wedding planner if you have one, to discuss different options here about what you can do. Okay, moving on, we're going to talk about wedding photos next. So just like your engagement photos, wedding photos are a fun way to showcase your personality. My caveat here is, though, to make sure if you do decide to do some fun shots that you also leave time for the more formal portraits as well, because your parents are going to want them, your grandparents are going to want them, you might want some for your house. There are no do-overs on your wedding day, so just make sure you get a little of each. Definitely work with your wedding photographer. And if they're the same person that did your engagement photos, they're going to know your style already by this point. So maybe you want some funny photoshopped or funny poses with you and your bridal party. You know, if this is something that you want, make sure you speak to your photographer and do some creative brainstorming together ahead of time and make sure that they know what you want so that there's enough time in your day to get those photos done. Now we're going to move on to table numbers, guest book, and favors. And I love this topic because this is where your creative side can really, really shine through. Table numbers are just that, a number typed onto a piece of paper and stuck on a stand in the middle of the table to let guests know where to sit. If you want to do something different, you have full rein to do whatever you want. I've seen couples have photos of the two of them at different ages. So like at table one, they'd have a side-by-side photo of them at 1 year old. At table two, it would be the same thing of photos of them at 2 years old and so forth. Guest books are typically just a book people sign. If that does nothing for you, switch it up or don't even have one. It's totally up to you. My husband is a huge New York Yankee fan, and so our guest book was a Louisville Slugger baseball bat with our names and date engraved in it, and we had everyone sign it, which is awesome because now it's hanging in our home as a treasured memento from the day. So really get creative here and think about what you like and what you would use in your home. Favors can get as personal as you like as well, but at the same time, you could even forego them altogether if you don't want them. With favors, though, if you do decide to have them, remember your guest. Keep them in mind. Does your guest really want a paperweight with your names engraved on it, or do they want something a little bit more useful? You know, maybe do a donation to a charity in your guest's name if you want something with a little bit more meaning. For my wedding, my mom made our favors. She makes the best homemade fudge and has won several best of show and first place ribbons at our county fair. And so we couldn't have a wedding without her fudge being part of it. It just wouldn't be the same. So I chose my favorite flavor, which was milk chocolate with walnuts. And my husband chose his favorite flavor, which was orange creamsicle. And we put a little note in each box. Each box had one of each flavor. And the note in each box read, "Love is sweet. Enjoy this homemade treat." And in fact, the day of the wedding, we had three people who couldn't make it unexpectedly. And everyone at their table were vying for the three extra boxes that were there. So if you truly make your wedding favor something people will enjoy, people are going to want more of it, which really makes it special. Okay, so like I said, there's so many opportunities to showcase who you are, and we've already covered so much. So we discussed save the dates and invites. We discussed attire and clothing, flowers and decor, your unity ceremony and vows, your wedding photos, table numbers, guest book, and favors. And now we have two more areas to go over. The first are dances. As I mentioned earlier, just because weddings have a traditional first dance or a parent dance or group dances or whatever, doesn't mean that you need to do them or do them in the same way or do them at all. Even the music you choose can say a lot about you as a couple. If you listen to show number 6, which we'll also share in the show notes, we discuss wedding music and how your playlist gives your DJ some amazing insights into what you like and what makes you happy. So maybe you want to do a flash mob. Maybe you just want a first dance and no parent dances. Maybe you don't want any group dances, or maybe you want a wild party with props and lighting. Whatever you decide, it's totally up to you. And remember, again, there are no rules. So whatever you decide to do is correct. You're not doing anything wrong if you switch it up. Lastly, and I save the best for last, let's talk about food, your signature drink, and your cake. Wow, okay, so there's so much here. So more likely than not, you'll be working with your venue or caterer to choose your food. Even if you're a DIY bride, I highly discourage you from making your own food for your wedding. You're not going to have the time for it, and you're going to stress yourself out for no reason. Leave that to the experts. Have a chat with whoever is doing your food and go over your likes and dislikes. Remember, though, even if you might not like something, your guest will, so keep that in mind. If there's something that's really a favorite of yours, let's say, I don't know, like pigs in a blanket or mac and cheese or even ice cream, make sure you incorporate that in some way. If you want to have a dish that's special to your family, Give a copy of the recipe to your caterer or venue because they'll be able to scale it up to feed a crowd. Signature drinks are another really great option to make your wedding personal, not only with the name of the drink, but also the flavors as well. So maybe you have one drink, or maybe you have two representing each of you, and you could do like a friendly little competition to see whose drink got requested the most that night. Again, you know, work with the professionals to determine what alcohol will be needed, if it's something that's stocked, or if you'll have to provide some of the ingredients. And of course, you want them to make it so that you'll be able to taste it first. Now, once you decide what to create, it may look good, it may sound great, but you want to make sure it tastes great too. So definitely make sure you have a tasting to make sure that all is good with your signature drink. And last but not least, your cake. The cake tasting is one of the most exciting and most fun parts of wedding planning and something the groom always looks forward to. This is an excellent way to show off your personality, not only in the cake flavor and filling, but in the design and decoration as well. Also, your cake topper. Don't forget that. That is a great way to add a little whimsy to your cake. At your cake tasting, you'll have the chance to pick out and taste several flavor and filling options. My advice, though, is to keep it something you like, but keep it simple too, because there are going to be hundreds of people eating it. So maybe a pistachio cardamom cake isn't the best, but a red velvet with cannoli filling is. I've seen cakes where the front is done up really traditional and the back has like superheroes on it. I've seen cakes in the shape of different objects. And I've even been to a wedding where there was no cake at all, and instead they had an ice cream sundae bar. And let me tell you, I have never seen grown men run so fast to get ice cream as I did at this wedding. It was hilarious. It was so much fun and everyone felt like a kid. It was awesome. So that is a pretty extensive list. We made it to the end. That's a long list, but I really wanted to show you all the ways you can incorporate your personality into your wedding. So I'm hoping this list will get you started. And I'm sure you could think of other ways as well as you're planning. So I love to hear from you. I love for you to share with us some ways you're making your wedding unique. Join us over on Instagram and Facebook at SBS Wedding Prep and share your ideas. So this way I could see what you're doing. Other couples can see what you're doing and get inspired from you. And it'll be a great conversation to have going on. Don't forget to share this show, leave a comment, and subscribe. And if you're a Hudson Valley couple, join us over at our sister website, Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, at www.weddingconnectionshv.com for all your Hudson Valley wedding needs. So until next time, happy planning.